Want to just encourage you, second service Sunday was 85% full. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. You say, well, yeah, but I was in first service. This is only like 60% full. All right, well, get to work. Amen. Right? Amen. So we still have some seats here, which means we still have the work to be done. But let me remind you of part of RIPE is that you would be inviting people. And we have information cards, and I haven't gone over it for a while, but I need to go over it again, because how many know you can start doing something, you know what, and then you get off doing it. And you have people that are your influence, that if you'll just tell them, man, I'm going to an awesome church, you know what, the music is good, the pastor's goofy, but I like him anyway. I really want to just invite you to the church. You know, there are so many people that there's only one thing keeping them. The statistics prove this out, that there's many people that there's only one thing keeping them from church. You know what it is? A personal invitation. Amen. Not some generic thing and billboard, you know what, come to Hope Community Church. No, a personal invitation. So that's very powerful. John, could you bring me, or somebody, could you bring me my notepad? It's a very powerful thing to invite somebody. And you know what? Not only invite them, but ask them, you know what, if you can pick them up. And then, you know what, tell them you'll take them out to lunch after church. You know what? And then watch, because it's so relational, you know. How many know, you say, well, why would I do that? Jesus fed people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You know, you ever hear this, a way to the man's heart is through his stomach?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You say, Pastor, that's manipulative. It's not, listen, it's not manipulative. It's smart.
Amen.
You know, why we think. You know what? Paul says this. Let me just give you the word on this. Paul says, hey, how many, before I tell you what Paul says, how many recognize we lifted this ceiling here? Did you notice that this week?
No.
Yeah, we lifted this ceiling. How many know that was a lot of work? We lifted, there's more space now. We lifted the ceiling. How many noticed that? Okay, it's one person. You didn't notice? Yeah, you didn't notice. We did. No, we didn't. Oh, but we did. Remember these lights that were here? We took them. Remember the big, you know, we took them down. They're still here. They're just, we put them this way. So it looks like there's more space. Okay. But how many know that that Paul said at one point, he said, speaking of people who were preaching the gospel from a wrong motivation. See what they, oh, they can, you know, oh, that's bad. They shouldn't do that. But you know what Paul says that to those people about this? He says, I don't care. As long as people are getting saved. You know, it's surprising how many ways God will use to get somebody saved. You know, I've heard this. You know, somebody says, no, let me tell you about the sinner's prayer. You have to say the sinner's prayer like this. I've heard people say this. And they're serious. They're totally serious. If you don't repent, you have to say, you know what, I repent. Well, first of all, just so you know what, you legalists. I'm telling you, we get legalistic about stuff that is not even in the Bible. The sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. You say, oh, you're against the sinner's prayer? Nope. I love it. You use it all the time. Why? Because it's just a way to tell people, hey, let's connect right now. And it's effective and it's great. But how many know, some of you probably prayed this prayer. I've seen people come to Christ and they said this, God, I don't even know if you exist. But if you do, how many know in 3 weeks, that person sometimes is more on fire than you are? Can you say amen? Well, but he didn't say repent. He didn't even say in the prayer. Okay. How in the world can God use that? Here's how. Because you know what? They're opening up their life this much. That's right. They're opening up their heart. And we need to not get all crazy legalistic. You know what? And by the way, if I do the sinner's prayer, I'm saying, Father, I repent of my sin. It is important to recognize, man, I can't. We say it all the time. Good choices, good life. Bad choices, bad life. What's that? That's repenting. You can't keep on doing the same boneheaded things you were doing before. Ungodly things and think that God's going to bless you. Amen. But all I'm pointing out is sometimes we get, you know what, back to my point. Invite somebody to church this Sunday. Invite them. Oh, hey, you know what? You like that? You like that Chipotle place? Man, I love that. You know what I mean? Hey, you like that? Oh, I love Chipotle. Oh, awesome. I'm going to take you to Chipotle after church. Amen? I said Chipotle wrong. That's right. Amen. Well, however they say it, I like that place. You know, I like that place on the corner of Whittier and Rosemead. Right? I can say Whittier and Rosemead, right? Okay. So, but see, you know what? My whole point is we have those invitation cards. Take them. Invite someone. It makes a big difference. And it will make a big difference in their life, just like giving. It'll make a big difference in your life. You know what? It's a whole different thing coming to church expecting someone to come. Versus just going, I hope somebody else comes that Richard invited. No, hope somebody comes that you invited. Amen? And how many know how you have a big harvest? How many know how you have a big harvest? So what? So seed. No, how do you have a big harvest? So a lot of seed. See? A lot of seed, big harvest. Little seed, little harvest. Okay? So, and listen, if that's not your personality type, here, this is deep. This is real spiritual. Are you listening to me? How many of you are extrovert? Raise your hand real high if you're extrovert. See, extroverts have no problem raising their hand, okay? But if I ask you if you're an introvert, you'd be like, should I say I'm an introvert? You don't know. I don't even know. You know what I mean? Right? Because you're an introvert. You're like, oh, I'm not expressive responsive. You know what I mean? Okay, listen. Here, this is deep. Are you ready? This is deep, okay? So what? That wasn't very nice. Okay, I am trying to shake you up a little bit. You know what I mean? Okay, it's not everything don't have to be about you. Amen. It's about building the kingdom. Amen. So watch this. Here, what do they call this? When you're doing something that you didn't used to do, you know what they call that? Growth. They call that growth. And I like what T.D. Jakes said. He said, you know what? I've learned to be uncomfortable with comfortable. See, if you're a comfortable Christian, I mean, that's not a good place to be. You know what I mean? I mean, no. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is, if you're growing... Here, you analyze it. We preach this Sunday. You judge yourself. Okay? Are you a comfortable Christian? If you're not uncomfortable, then you're probably, you know what, not, because, why? Because the Holy Spirit is constantly pushing you out of what you feel comfortable doing.
Yes.
Wow. Amen? You know, so I'm up here minding my own business, leading, you know, praise and worship one Sunday just recently, and the Holy Spirit said, ask the congregation, tell the congregation someone's got a word. How many were here when I said that? I had never said that, never opened it up to the whole congregation before. Well, why didn't you want to open it up to congregation? Because somebody, praise God, who doesn't know, and they're just, you know what? And they're going to, you know, stand up and say, you know what? Thus saith the Lord, you know what? I had a Whopper at Burger King today, and the Lord told me if you have 3 Whoppers on Monday at Burger King for the next 4 months, you'll have a higher place in the kingdom of God. And they say it to everyone, and guess what I get to do? Guess what I get to do? Eat Whoppers? No, that's not what I'm doing. Guess what I get to do as pastor? Guess what I get to do? They said it to everyone. Guess what I get to do? I get to correct them in front of everyone. So I said it, and I kept on looking at Isaac, or I kept on looking at Joel and Pastor George. My eyes just said, I was like, oh, God, please let, you know, that, you know, one of those two. And I appreciate their honesty. You know what I mean? How many know sometimes it takes honesty to just be quiet? How many know sometimes it takes honesty to just be quiet? Not just make something up. You know what I mean? And they were integrous. They didn't just make something up. And then somebody over here said something. Raised their hand. You know what? And it was awesome. Amen? Amen. What's my point? Man, that was so out of my comfort zone. So pushing me out of my comfort zone. Another time, same thing. You know what? We were in the North Sanctuary. Holy Spirit said, I want you to prophesy. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to prophesy? What do you want me to say? He told me again, I want you to prophesy. And I acted dumb. I knew what he was talking about. How many know we can't act dumb with God? You know, I don't know what you're talking about, God. I knew what he was talking about. And then I said, you know, kind of like more mellow. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? And the third time, it was a way more strong, kind of like, I told you to prophesy. How many believe God can speak to you if you'll listen to him? He said, I told you to prophesy. Well, why am I not prophesying? Because I don't know what the word is. What did God want me to do? I had never, up to that point, I had never not known a little bit of direction as far as what the Lord wanted me to say before I opened my mouth. Never. What did God want me to do? He's stretching me. He's moving me. He's moving me. That's what he's getting me more to trust him. That's what he did the other day. Got me more to trust him. Amen? And so I said, you know what? God wants us to know. And as soon as I said, God wants us to know, boom, I had the word. And what did I do? I thought, oh, God's good. See, you have to learn to be uncomfortable with comfortable. And we just think, oh, no, let me show what God wants. God wants me to be happy, and God wants me to be comfortable. What Bible are you reading? Because I don't see that. God loves you, and he's got a great life for you. Absolutely. That part is true. But if you think that means, well, you know, you just stay at home and everything's about you and you spend all your money on yourself and you spend all your time on yourself and everything is about you and God just wants you comfortable, then you need to start reevaluating the gospel. Because the gospel is gospel. That God will push you out of your comfort zone. But how many know it's good? Because why? Because he's growing you. And now you're in a different place that you're like, oh, this is better. right? Right? When I was young, you know, don't tell my kids this story, but when I was young, on the side of the Whittier Hills was this old abandoned oil tower. You know what I mean? And, you know, I was tall and had the ladder, then the platform, then the ladder, then the platform, all the way up to the top. But it was old. A bunch of the rings were broken. Some of the platforms were not there. So I had a friend, and he took me over, and I said, hey, you know, come on up here. And you know what? And I started climbing up there, and I thought, oh, man, this is crazy. You know what I mean? It was crazy. It was really dumb. But I tell you what, when I got up to the top, it was awesome. See, sometimes getting to that top place is going to make you feel uncomfortable. But you've got to work through that uncomfortableness of your flesh to then walk in the blessings of God. Does that make sense? All right. Not my sermon tonight, but it is my sermon tonight. So, okay. So before you leave, take some invitation cards. And whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, it doesn't make any difference. You get pushed out of your comfort zone and you invite some people to church. Amen? Amen. We're talking about unity. Guys in the back, go to Acts chapter 43. Acts chapter 43. Acts chapter 43. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Look what it says. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done. Who? These signs were done through the apostles. Next verse. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord, in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, here's my point. They're walking in the supernatural. These signs are being done through the hands of the apostles. What were the apostles? Apostles are just regular men, just like you and I. But they were walking in supernatural abilities. Here's why. Because they were all in one accord. They had decided before they got together that what we looked at last week, that they weren't, oh, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm this. No. I'm of Christ. And so, you know what? We understand that this is too important. Our work is too important to allow, you know what, a color of a chair to separate us. Does that make sense? It's ridiculous. And there's, in some churches, the leadership isn't smart enough to recognize. The leadership isn't smart enough to recognize, you know what, if you start putting these petty things in front of everybody, everybody will start fighting over the color of chairs. Amen? Hello? You know? I had one guy, and he came from a church, and he was upset because he thought that I ought to ask him all kinds of things. Wow. I'm serious. How many were asked about the color of the chair? How many were asked about how we were going to upholster these chairs? How many were asked? Marilyn was asked, okay? How many of the G weren't asked? Okay? And listen, let me just use this as a coaching moment. Why am I going to ask Marilyn? Here's why. Because she got skin in the game. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And I mean that in every sense of the word. You know what I mean? But another reason why I'll ask Marilyn is because, you know what? I can trust Marilyn.
Amen.
Two, if she says blue and I say, oh, we ain't doing it blue, she's not going to walk away all huffy and puffy. How many know some people get huffy and puffy? Right? And so what's my point? My point is that leadership at this church recognizes, you know what, and we have two boards that we ask. Tamara and I, you know what, have boards that we ask and talk to the people and you know what, and talk to them about the outside project. Talk to them about this indoor project. It's important. You know what I mean? How many know four eyes are better than two eyes? Right? Does that make sense? So, but we need to make sure that we have, and that's why one of the reason we're teaching this, because I'm going to show you tonight, unity is so effective. So effective. Look at your neighbor and say, unity is effective. So what we said last week, remember we said this, when are we going to figure out whether we're going to be united or not? Are we going to figure out when we're united? When you come in and look and say, I don't understand. You know, Pastor, I don't understand why you took all those big circular lights. Why'd you take all those down? I liked them. Amen? See, here's what I'm saying. You make a decision before you come in that we're going to be in unity. Watch this. Whether you like it or whether you don't. Oh, we're going to park it here for a minute. I said, whether you like it or whether you don't. See, we get all huffy and say, well, you know, whether I don't, how in the world, why, what kind of cocky pastor are you saying like that? What is that? I'll tell you what it is. You know what? It is, it's the wisdom of God. Because I know. Think about how silly and how Satan is. You think it makes a difference? This light was that light.
That's right.
Do you know that?
That's right.
See, we just replaced where we put the lights.
Yeah.
so that's all we did. Oh, the light's facing this way. Oh, that's going to get a lot of people saved. You know what I mean? But the light facing this way, oh, that's going to keep them out of the kingdom of God. See, I'm being sarcastic on purpose because, let me tell you why, because we have to evaluate what Satan is doing to us. And I'm telling you, it doesn't make any difference whether the lights are focused this way or whether the lights are focused that way. Well, why did you focus them that way? Because, let me just tell you what happened. When we looked at the South Sanctuary project, it was a lot of money to take this ceiling off, to redirect. How many know we had a lot of stuff in, you know what, look up here. You know what that is? That was our old attic. How many know when you have an attic, you can run anything you want? We had gas lines. We had all the air conditioning. We had all the water lines. Where is it going? It's all over the place. You just didn't see it. Well, how many know, you know what, when you take all that rock down, you know what, you've got to now transfer all that stuff. Where's all that stuff? It's all in those boxes all around us. It got redirected. We had a big air conditioning unit, right? That air conditioning unit was right here. Yeah, where'd you put it? I put it over here. Amen? See, it's still there. You just don't see it. So we hid everything. Well, to do all that costs a lot of money. But listen, you know what? If we weren't as smart as we were, you could spend as much money on lighting and on audio and visual as we spent for the whole project. Because you know what you're paying for? You're paying not only, how many know this equipment is expensive? But you know what's really expensive? The person who comes in here and understands lighting and understands sound. So what did you do? We said, here's what we said. I mean, we were a little crazy, amen. And here's what we said. We said, John, you're gonna build all this, and we're gonna do the lighting and the sound ourselves. What are you thinking? I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't know what I was thinking. But God was gracious. And I called a friend of mine, pastor's a very large church. He said, you know what? I said, do you know anybody who's really good and really cheap? I mean, what do they call that when it's like opposites in the same? Somebody know it's, anyway. Really good and really cheap are kind of not hard to find. Exactly. So he said, I know someone. We had an intern, and he learned all this stuff, and now we put him on staff, but he's off on Monday, on Mondays, and he'll probably come and help you out. And this guy came, and he knew a lot about sound. A lot about sound. He knew a lot about lighting. And he helped us. If you look at the circuitry and if you saw everything that was ran from up here all the way back to that, it is incredible. Incredible. And when we turned it on, it all worked. And it all sounded awesome. But this guy was like 27 years old. Not exactly the lighting issue. He knew a lot, but not so keen on how things looked. Does that make sense? So he said, why don't you get 6 of those big puppies and put them up here? I think that'll look good. And so, what do I know? I said, okay. But the more I looked at those, the more I thought, those don't look so good. So we went, I don't know if you know this, we went from 8 to 6. And that looked better. What did we do with those? We put those up here. You can see them. Nice. But then this week, we finally had some time. I said, hey, Joel, let's take those down. All I want to do is take them down. And let's see what it looks. We took them down, and immediately we said, oh, man, doesn't that look clean up there? Isn't that cleaner? But it was too dark. So what did you do? I said, hey, Joel, what if we just took those and faced them towards the stage? Same effect, but now you see the cleanness here. You still have the lights. I mean, how many know God is good? Amen. How many know God is good? Amen. Let me get back to my point. See, it doesn't make any difference whether those lights are facing this way or this way. It doesn't make any lights where they're there. And look, how many know in the course of time, somebody says, I like them. I like when you put them purple. Somebody says, I like when you put them blue. I like when you put them red. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, we get the blue light people and the red light people and the green light people. You know what I mean? We got the, you know, the what do they call those two? You know, we got the McCliffs and the, you know, got the Hatfields and the who? McCoys. And you know what? And Satan's laughing at us the whole time. See, what's happening here? They're making a decision that they're going to be in one accord. You don't make that decision when you come in and you agree on everything. You make the decision before you come in saying, you know what? Let me tell you what. Lost people are more important than chairs. Lost people are more important than the focus of where the lights are. Amen? Now, how many know, look at your neighbor and say, but they are smart around here. we're not that smart, but we're smart, amen. But how many know, we're smart enough to at least figure out there's some people around here who know, you know, they got a good eye. You know, right? How many know there's some guys who shouldn't be in charge of decorating around here? I didn't point my finger at you, right? Did I point a finger? I didn't know. But how many know that's true? So, you know what? All I'm saying. Does that make sense? We preconceive. We understand before it starts. Now, why would Satan want to get us in this arguing over anything? He doesn't care what it is. Flags, colors of chairs, where placing of lightings, you don't want anything. Why? Because Satan knows how effective unity is. Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. What's that? The power of unity. If two of you will come in agreement, not disagreement, if you come in disagreement, there's not that power. But if you come in agreement, there's supernatural power. That's why Satan will fight you, will try to get you irritated at the person that you're sitting next to. You know what I mean? You heard this story. I'm going to tell it to you again. It's one of my favorite stories. You know what I mean? Gracious man. You know what I mean? I get this idea. I go to this one church, and the pastor, you know what? If you're a new guest, you know what? Any new guest gets a Coke. Good. And he's got one of those machines. You know what? You want a Coke or you want Sprite? Amen. And he's got one of those machines. I found out those machines cost $10,000. And all of a sudden, I got this revelation. You know what? Ice cream. You know what I mean? And go over to the store, get one of those jugs of ice cream, get, you know, ice cream cones for cheap. You know what? And give everybody. Who doesn't like an ice cream cone after church? Come on, man. That's a no-brainer. So, you know what? So here's what I do. I get done preaching, in Jesus' name, amen. You know what? That side door, I'd run out the side door, and I'd have the ice cream set up, and who would scoop the ice cream? I would. I'd say, hey, you want some ice cream? One gracious man saw and thought, you know what? Pastor shouldn't be doing that. I can do that. You know what I mean? But pastor should be maybe talking and praying with some people after church, you know, not scooping ice cream. Amen? So he took over, okay? So what is, you know, any, you know, normal, you know, guy, you know what? What do you do when you scoop ice cream and that thing won't come off the little scooper thing? What do? That's why you have this. And you hit that thing and it falls off, amen? True story. Some lady, you know what, gets all irate, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, the Bible says we can step on scorpions and it won't hurt us. But don't you dare touch my ice cream, you know. You might have a, you know. How many know people are ridiculous? Come on, somebody say amen to this. You know, let me give you a revelation. Be kind to everyone, especially the guy who's scooping your ice cream, amen. Well, that doesn't say that? Well, something like that. But here's what I'm saying. You know what? She had the audacity to complain about that. And don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? If she would have been sweeter, I would have, you know what I mean, would have been nicer. You know, you can say something sweet. Amen. You can be helpful. I mean, no, be helpful is different than being critical. What does that have to do with? It has to do with your spirit. It has to do with how you say it. I mean, you could say stuff nasty. Amen. You could have been nice. You know what I mean? You could have gone over to Thrifty's and bought some of those plastic things. You know, spend, you know what, $1.59 and bless us. Amen. Amen. You know what? People walking around thinking they know how to do everything. And you know what? And they're not willing to do anything. Amen. Ooh, amen. Amen to this. You know what? So, you know what? I just said, you know, okay, well, we can solve that. I mean, how many sometimes you just got to smile? Wait, here, I'll give you. Listen, don't try to correct people who are uncorrectable anyway. Oh, I'm preaching good today. Here's what the Bible said. Let me give you the Bible on this. Amen. The Bible says, don't cast your pearl before swine, because what they'll do is they'll take your pearl and they'll put it in the mud. They see no value in what you say. And then after they stomp on your pearl, the Bible says they'll go after you. Some people you just got to recognize. Man, I just smile at them. Praise God. You know, have a nice day, ma'am. Thank you very much. And I'll see you later. Oh, you know. Amen. And don't be one of those people. Don't be one of those people. No, we don't have time for that. You know what? We got too much to do. That's taking away. It's not adding. You know what? I just said, yeah, bro, don't worry about the lady. But we need to listen, and we'll get you some of those plastic things, and you know. You can still do that with your finger, but let's cover it. You know what I mean? Let's get it. Okay. Praise God. So what am I saying? You know what? Unity is really important. You know what? Number two, unity is effective against our enemy. Unity is effective against your enemy. How many recognize you have an enemy? How many ever thought, man, enemy is, you know, you feel sometimes. Do you not? Feel something, ooh, you know, I know I'm all things, you know, I can do all things through Christ, but sometimes you feel like you're losing. You don't have to raise your hand. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look at verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Better. Somebody say better. And then look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Though one might be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a three cord is not quickly broken. Amen. You know, I'll just, you know, brag on Richard because he's in the first row. But I love Richard for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons I love Richard is, you know, let me tell you what. Richard has my back. I'm telling you, amen. Richard has my back. Amen. And so, you know, and here's the thing. I have his back. It's not a one-way street. You know what? Carlos, he has my back. And so I'm just more... I'm more, we are better together.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yes. Do you see that? Yes. See, one can be overpowered. You know what I mean? Yes. Hello?
Hello?
You know, when I first got here, Tamara and I first got here, it wasn't how it should be. And so things were hard to do because it was almost like the pastor is there, and I'm just, guys, I love you, and I'm not, you know what, thank God we have moved on, but I need to teach. Can I teach?
Yeah.
The mindset, and I'm not saying there were gracious people, you know what I mean, who are here, but the mindset predominantly, and we felt it was tangible, you know what I mean? I was constantly looking over my shoulders and thinking, you know what? I mean, if we did this, you know what? We'd have eight people. You know, why didn't do that? You just think they can put the lights wherever they want? You know, who's, you know, who? Why didn't they ask us? Wow. It's craziness. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, we have competent people here. You know what I mean? And just so you know, I ask people. I ask, you know what, Shayla? You know what? She got skin in the game. I asked Joel. I asked Vegas. You know what? And all we did was take it down and look. And as soon as we did, I walked in there. I was like, oh, man. You know what? I was right. It does look better. Amen? And just so you know, it wasn't my idea anyway. I didn't come up with the idea. Does that make sense? But together, we can accomplish so much more. Amen? Guys, understand the main thing is getting people saved.
Amen.
And restoring families. Amen? Because not only do we get, in this church, not only do we get people saved, but we teach the gospel, which makes all our lives better.
Amen.
Of course Satan would fight this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. I'm telling you what. I don't know, you know what. And you are a legend in your own mind. Amen. Excuse me. You know everything. What are you doing? You isolate yourself. You don't understand. Listen, and let me just teach you. You know the best leader is? You know the best leaders are? They're good followers. Does that make sense? Let me tell you what else a good leader is. A good leader is confident in their calling. Paul says, you know what? He understands the spheres that he was called to. See, listen, it didn't make any difference that I had all kinds of people, you know what, initially. Somebody say initially.
Initially.
You know what? Some of them very close to me initially thinking that this South Sanctuary project, that was just crazy thing in my head. Well, why did you pursue it? Because I understood the sphere that I had been given to influence. I understand. Can I teach you something? God doesn't love me more than he loves you. In a family, God doesn't love the father more than he does the mother. He doesn't love the parents more than he loves the children. How many understand that? But there is a delegated order. Oh, I got to park it here for a long time. I have to park it here. That's a good thing, okay? That means I have to spend some time on this. I can't just rush through it. So I have to understand that sphere, and I have to understand God doesn't love me more than he loves anybody, but our positioning is different. Dr. Radke teaches, and he's right, it's biblical understanding. Dr. Radke teaches that the sphere of a pastor is a different position, and he uses it like a mountain. And he says, you got this. You know, you ever go in these pastor's office and they got eagles, you know, pictures of eagles. And you know what? Hello? He says, a pastor is an eagle. And these eagles, they soar really high. And there's something of this height that you're able to see things that those squirrels can't see. Not because God, did I call you a squirrel? Okay, I don't know. Don't be offended, amen? I love squirrels, amen? Squirrels are cool. Anyway, you be whatever you want to be. You be a mountain lion if you want to be, okay? Don't get tripped up that I called you a squirrel, okay? Pastor called me a squirrel today, okay? So here's all I'm saying. So it's not that God loves the eagle more than he loves the squirrel. It's, but his perception is different than the squirrel's. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so sometimes he can see stuff. I knew when we had a guy come over and we were talking about doing, we were talking about, all I was talking, this was a gracious man. He came for free, but he has a lot of experience, and he's just a personal friend of mine. And he came over, and he's a builder, and he's an architect. We were in the North Sanctuary. How many were here when we were in the North Sanctuary? Raise your hand if you're here in the North Sanctuary. Okay, we'll count one, two. Raise your hand real high. We'll count one, two, three, and switch if you never were part of us when we were in the North Sanctuary. One, two, three. Put your hands up if, you know. North Sanctuary people, put your hand up. Okay. I'm going to count to three, and then if you were never here and you are just South Sanctuary, then you put your hand up like that. Okay, ready? One, two, three. All right, let me make it easy. If you've only known the South Sanctuary, put your hand up real high. Real high, real high, real high. Only. Okay, I thought we'd have more, but that's okay. Praise God. We love you. We're glad you're here.
Amen.
But, amen. But here's what he showed me, okay? All we were trying to do, remember in the back we had that coffee area? Way in the back. And we had those brown couches there, and we were like, oh, this is awesome. And then it only took like 8 people to be in there, and it was packed. Remember that? Like, oh, this is fun, you know, I'm drinking my lunch. So, but praise God, I mean, no, we're moving somewhere, amen. How many know it was better than it was before that? Amen. So we're, okay, let's move forward. So, but we're in that situation. I thought, what are we going to do? Let's break that wall down. Remember when we had the sound room in that little room next door? Let's take that wall down and let's put the sound people in that loft. You know where the clock is? And they'll hear better. And we'll you know, instead of 8 people, we'll be able to have 12 people. Woo! You know what I mean? Great idea. Well, he said, you can't do that because your joists are running the wrong way. But what you could do is you could build a platform. When you first walked in, you could build a platform and you could put them up there. And then you could tear down this wall. I said, how much would it do to do that? And he was like, I don't know, maybe $250,000. Now, I'm not the sharpest person in the box, you know, I'm pencil in the box. But even my lightning fast mind could figure out, let's see, 8 people in the coffee room, 12 people in the coffee room, $250,000. That's not worth it. And then he did this. And then he actually, this was in the back of my mind for a long time. How many know sometimes you'll have something that'll just be stirring up inside you? It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Mary pondered it in her heart. And it was just stirring up in my heart. I bet you we could put more people over here than over there. And I said, and now we have $250,000. I'm like, well, if we're going to spend that, why don't I just ask this guy about this idea? I said, can we put more people over there if we took down that wall? And he said, I don't know. Let's see. And he took a piece of paper that's see-through. You know, you can trace it. And he put it on the North Sanctuary. Not the North Sanctuary, but the drawing of the North Sanctuary. And he traced it. And then he picked that paper up and he put it over here. And immediately you could see this is almost twice the size as the South Sanctuary. And immediately I knew, that's it. That's what we need to do. That was before I knew anybody how we were going to do it. Here's what I'm saying. That when I initially told that idea to even trusted leaders. Watch, I'll give you an analogy. Even trusted leaders. Wow. They initially didn't see it. Why? Not because they weren't spiritual. Be careful who you call unspiritual. Yeah. I said, be careful who you call unspiritual. Not because they were unspiritual, not because God didn't love them, but their positioning was different. I saw something they didn't see. Now, it didn't take very long for those leaders to see it. Amen? But it took me to cast the vision. I had to cast the vision. And then I was like, I never forget. I'll stop with this. There was a wall right here. It was a Wednesday night. Listen, this church is blessed to have the leadership, the young leadership that we're raising up in this church. We're so blessed to have Shayla. We're so blessed to have Joel. We're so blessed to have Angel. I could go on. We're so blessed to have Josh. I could go on. We're so blessed to have AJ. We're so blessed to have Daniel. I mean, we got Daniel's sister. We're so blessed. I left a lot of people out because I don't got time to talk to everyone. We are so blessed. But this wall was right here. And it wasn't even a real wall. It was one of those walls you could screw off and it picked it up and you took a section down. And they were coming Monday to take this thing to start construction. And me and Joel were like little kids waiting for a Christmas day. Amen. And we and it was late already, and we looked at Tamara, and Joe was like, can we do it? Can we do it? Can we do it? And I was thinking the same. Well, I was trying to act adult, but I was the same way. Oh, I want to do it. And the reason why it was a big deal is because visually it was hard to see how big this room was. So we started taking away the panels. And by the end of the night, we had every panel down, but we couldn't take on the farthest panel over there, and we couldn't take down the farthest panel here because how they were set, you know, and we couldn't do it. But I tell you what, we were so excited. See, you have to be willing, you know what? I'm teaching a little bit on leadership, but you have to be willing to understand what your sphere is. Okay, well, I got to take some time. And good leader is secure in himself that you can't bully people. Husbands, don't bully your wife. Well, praise God. Doesn't the Bible say they need to submit to me? Well, the Bible does say that, but read the chapter. It also says that you need to submit to each other. Now, ladies, before you amen me too much, you need to understand that submitting to each other doesn't mean that he's not the head of the household. Because he is the head of the household. God don't, and there's things, listen to me, ladies, there's things that he will see because of his positioning that you can't see. Well, that's politically incorrect. But that's spiritually absolutely true. Amen. Be careful that you don't judge everything based on a secular humanism that the world teaches. Amen. This is what works. And this is the only thing that works. Amen. Did you learn something? Okay. I think we got a whole two more scriptures down. But amen. How many enjoyed this series? Okay. If we have unity, we're going to have some things here. If we, and you guys, and listen, and you guys are doing a great job. But you know what, just because a team's winning in the eighth inning doesn't mean they don't lose it in the ninth. Hey, notice I did not say who. Be nice. I didn't even say the Dodgers. I didn't even say that. Hey, just for the record, the Angels are, I looked today, 13 games and a half out of first place. I'm just saying. So, you know what? I got nothing to, you know what I mean? Actually, the truth is I feel sorry for the Dodgers. It's like, you know what? The Giants are almost going to catch them pretty soon. All right. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the spirit in this church, a spirit of cooperation, a spirit of love, a spirit of Christ. We are of Christ. And so, Father, we understand what's important. And, Father, I pray that as we continue to grow, that we will continue to have a stronghold of unity at this church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Amen.